Welcome to the Documentary WoW podcast. As always, I'm your host, Patrick Michael, and today we're going to be looking at the recent release of the documentary known simply as Woodstock. Very productive last few days or last few months or just last few hours, man. It's always good to stay creating, staying positive, all of those things. And through creation, it's an easy way to keep the mind from getting in a depressive state. Let's just say that first and foremost. But we're not here to talk science. That's not what we do here at the Documentary WoW podcast. Before we get started, big shout out to everybody who has supported the podcast and watched and listened to the podcast and enjoyed it, because you can find the channel Trash Panda on YouTube, where I do post a lot of these podcasts via video form. Feel free to contact me personally on Instagram at Patrick Michael Comedy or on Twitter at I Think I'm Irish. You can also contact the show personally at docwowpodcast@gmail.com, taking all questions and advice and anything you guys want to say. Beautiful things, man. All beautiful things. All love. You know what I'm saying? That's just what we do here. And with that in mind, we're talking about a specific we're talking about a specific documentary today that is very much about love and the love culture and peace and harmony. And I believe in all of those things fully. And I think there's a lot of us out there that still 100% do. Whether or not you are a cannabis user or not, you probably still 100% believe that love is the cure for most things. And this is a documentary that I wanted to watch specifically because it's an event that I would have loved to have been to. Would have loved to have been to Woodstock. How could you not have had a great time? I mean, even if you didn't enjoy all of the music, you would have found yourself in almost a euphoric state the whole time. The sounds, the rhythms, the people's bodies and people talking, and there was a lot of nudity, a lot of naked people. But here's the thing, it wasn't a sexual thing. That's not what it was about. It was literally freedom. And throughout this documentary, we hear a lot of great stories from people that performed there. We also hear some stories from the people that actually put the event together. And we're going to discuss all of that here in this episode. But man, could you just put yourself in the shoes of somebody who was able to go to Woodstock, to have the option? And then to also sleep in the area, to continue to rock out. It's a beautiful thing. And I think for our generation, we've all heard about this fire festival that was supposed to take place, and people were really, you know, people were into it. They wanted it to take place. And it could have been something very similar to a Coachella or a Woodstock, where a bunch of people come to a specific island somewhere and listen to music for a 7-day period while swimming in the ocean. Sounds amazing. Sounds cleaner than Woodstock was, I'm sure. But also doesn't sound as good as it'll never be as good as Woodstock. No matter how hard they try to do it, those bands don't really exist. Those artists don't really exist. And just those people don't exist. If they do, they're way into their, you know, 70s probably. And they're not out there popping LSD like they were back in the 60s, right? I mean, it's not as common. You would hope if there was a Woodstock 5, if they kept doing this, like Lollapalooza or any of these other big concerts, they should have kept Woodstock going. It's crazy that it is not a thing at this point in our generation. It's bothersome because people need music. People need music. They need the camaraderie that music brings you, because that's what happens, right? A lot of the stories that we heard in this documentary were people literally saying, like, oh man, I was so into this band, I was so into this music, and I just wasn't sure if there was anybody else out there that also was into this music. And as it turns out, they go to Woodstock and they meet 100,000 people that are also very much into that music, and it was a beautiful thing. Awesome documentary. And I'll tell you right now, there is another film that came out, I think in 1971, also called Woodstock. But I believe that was actually filmed at Woodstock. I'm not sure. Or it has real scenes from Woodstock. I don't know, guys, because I'm going to tell you right now, I've never had the opportunity to watch it. 100%. Wish I could have. I wish I could do an episode about it for you guys. Someday I will watch that, because I can only imagine what it was like, because there's just so much history that and you know, stories that you hear from people about that were actually there, or they knew somebody that was there, or they just knew about, they know more about it because they lived to see it happen. I'm sure it was on television, the concert, all the people. I mean, live television, seeing this crazy concert going on way back then. Could you imagine? That's something that's going to stick in these people's minds forever. But let's talk a little bit about the documentary specifically now. Now, it actually came out in 2019. It's called Woodstock. It's not rated. It runs an hour and 46 minutes, and it's documentary and history. And the smaller synopsis is simply, in August 1969, 500,000 people gathered at a farm in upstate New York. What happened there was far more than just a concert. Woodstock tells the story of a legendary event that defined a generation through the voices of those who were there. Now, that alone is it's deep, man. It's so deep. It's rated 6.7 out of 10 stars on IMDb, and it stars many of the people that performed there, as well as the people that put it together. Artie Kornfeld, Michael Lang, John Roberts, Joel Rosenman, Joan Baez, Paul Butterfield, Canned Heat. It's directed by Barak Goodman and Jamila Efron, and it is written by Barak Goodman and Don Clesley. Interesting, man. Very interesting documentary. I mean, just, it's weirder that there hasn't been a lot more of these that have been really well produced, in the sense of there was a huge budget to create the film, because guaranteed this is something that music lovers of our time need to see, because there's so much music and entertainment to be absorbed these days that the camaraderie is so much more rare. But it is easier to attain. For instance, if you're a fan of Pitbull, you know, the Miami, Florida guy or whatever he is, reggaeton, I don't know. If you're a fan of him, you might really enjoy him and think nobody else, not, okay, he is Mr. Worldwide, bad example, but my point is, maybe nobody in your small circle of friends likes him. But there is a huge community online and everywhere else in the world that loves him. And it's easier to figure that out. I picked a bad example, but you get what I'm saying, because what it is no different than ultimately what Woodstock was. It was a way to bring together people who enjoyed the same type of music and have them be in the same place and find out that, hey man, you're not alone. And then I guess for the bands, I would think, hey, they realized, wow, we are pretty special. I can't believe this. This is amazing. But I guess Richie Haven, I think his name is, actually created the song Freedom right there at Woodstock. He just made the song live on stage because he had ran out of stuff to perform, basically, and was like, hey, this only feels right. Let's knock it out. And sure enough, it is one of the most iconic songs to this day. And let me just be quite honest here with myself and you guys. Woodstock just seems like a, you know, to me it was like a precursor or something that kind of brought together the idea that Manson used with his family, because there was still that hippie counterculture that was highly in existence at that point. So for him to exploit it the way that he did, it was easier for him. That makes sense. I was just making the connection myself, but honestly, it's just so crazy the amount of connection you would have got from a simple event like this. Woodstock, man. Just Woodstock. And you can't, I feel bad saying just Woodstock, as if it's not important. And it is. It is super important. It's one of the most, you know, it's a generational event that has changed people's lives and still continues to do so, because I was not even old enough to be around when it was happening or the idea of it happening, but I did see Wayne's World, and that was a glimpse into the idea of a Woodstock and how the creation of it would have taken place. And that camaraderie, once again, is what people are looking for. That companionship was something so simple as a connection within a band, within a song or music in itself. And then also with Woodstock, you get to see some artists that you've never heard of before become some of your favorite artists and most iconic artists of all time. For instance, like Joe Cocker. That dude wasn't any more famous than a regular singer, but what he did is he did insane versions of other people's songs with his voice and his style, and that's what made him special. And his live performance is something to behold. I've seen a documentary about Joe Cocker, the Mad Dog, and believe me, that is somebody who you would have given an arm and a leg to watch perform, because you're gonna get a show. Even if he's not writing the music, he's gonna give you a show as good or better than the original songwriter. Doesn't matter. And that's crazy, because that's not even a thing that happens these days. Back in the day, people would get famous, or their most famous song, their hit song, would be a cover of somebody else's songs. That's how Elvis became a big name, because he had covered all these other great songs, and yeah, he covered all these songs, and turns out, once he started writing his own, it was just better. But they got recognition by covering someone else's music, and that's what Joe Cocker did. And I remember growing up and hearing that name and the voice and being like, man, why is there two different versions of this song or that song? And why is it on the same radio station? And then you realize who Joe Cocker is personally, not like I met the guy, but personally inside my body and mind, where I'm like, oh, I get it. I get it. Because believe me, I have tried myself many a times to cover a song and do it my way. But it is also very difficult to not just mimic the actual artist. So for Joe Cocker to have his own style was a beauty. It was something awesome. I mean, Jimi Hendrix being there. There's a lot of bands that they couldn't get for Woodstock. And that was a shame. Like, I would have... some of the bands they named that they couldn't get were bands that were like, well, I wonder what would have happened if they did get those bands. How easily it would have been to fill the paperwork out and make it all legitimate, because, you know, not only do we have Richie Havens, but we have The Doors, right? Pink Floyd. That would have been, I mean, the history of this event in itself is just so crazy to think that it hasn't continued to a certain degree. I mean, we have stuff like Lollapalooza, Warped Tour, but for me, it's not what this is. It's not anything close to Woodstock. It's a different environment. When I think of Lollapalooza or the other one that I said, when I think of those, I think of going there and being unsafe. I feel like I would go there and not feel okay. But with Woodstock, it would feel like I am everybody and everybody is me. We're all the same. There's no ability to create conflict in that environment. It's not within the people there. It wouldn't be within me or anybody else around, because the unity comes from the music. All of the music, man. That's what brought everybody there. That's what made everybody get naked and not for a sexual cause. It literally was just real human freedom. And you got to listen to beautiful music at the same time and see something that you'll never ever forget. But here's the thing. Put yourself in the shoes of being there at that time when it happened and not being able to go and wanting to go. Could you imagine? Or being somebody that did get to go and not realizing the impact that it would have on the rest of the world, for history, throughout history, forever. Woodstock is going to be talked about. They're going to keep making films about it. They're going to keep interviewing people that went. And the crazy thing about it is, you have to keep in mind that all of those people had no idea that this was going to be something that, I mean, they knew that it was going to be an amazing event, but they didn't know that it was going to be historical. I guarantee it. Not one of them that's in these videos, naked, you know, swimming around, acting crazy, on LSD, having a blast, not one of those people were like, oh man, I see a camera, can't wait to see what happens in the, you know, 30 years from now when that video is released of me at this amazing concert. They didn't realize the effect that it had and still continues to have. Because guess what, guys? Look at society and tell me if I'm wrong, but this is something we're missing. We're missing this. And I feel like it goes all the way back to the music. Music today isn't creating commonality within people where all of us like multiple bands of the same genre, if that makes sense. There's just so much to consume where it's like there's a better chance of you asking somebody if they've heard of a band and them having no idea who that band is rather than having a slight clue. Because there's so much to take in now. It's like, hey, have you heard of Adele?
No.
Of course I haven't heard of Adele. You see what I'm saying? But then there is some where it's like, oh, have you heard of The Killers or something like that? I'm like, no, I've never heard of them. Because they stay in their own, I guess, circle with their music. They're not willing to expand. But back then, you had so many great talents in every genre that you couldn't go wrong by this event. You couldn't go wrong by going to this particular thing. I mean, I feel like we've all seen Coachella performances this year and, you know, just any of these other performances that are huge events, and you can easily tell it's like it's nothing close to what Woodstock was. Not even just talking about the amount of people, but like I said, the community, the fact that we're all here for the same thing. We all want the same experience, even though they're all going to be, you know, particular to who you are. Everyone's going to be here and kind of share the same experience, if that's fair. But solely what it boils down to is this is a documentary that is a must watch. It's historical, and it's also something that will never, ever go away. And it's going to open up questions in your life where you're going to wonder if there's anybody that's close to you that experienced it or might have saw it happen or might have been there. You can only hope. I mean, you can only hope because that experience is life-changing, much like a Fyre Festival, but not in the same way. This has been the Documentary Wow Podcast. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I am Patrick. Until next time, you know, enjoy this Woodstock recommendation. Check it out. I promise you can't go wrong. Good night, listeners.